This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And good morning, my friend. About 3 minutes after 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday morning, the 25th day of July. Terry Toad in with you. It's good to have you along on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning, although we could still use a little bit of rain. We're trying to shake that out. And joining me in studio here, my good friend, Mr. Steve Davis.
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you as well.
Another good friend, Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Mickey.
Good morning, sir.
And how are you this fine day?
Oh, I survived another night of summer concert series.
Fundamentals last night, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. And they came early and they stayed late.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it was a good crowd. Just a touch of the north wind mm-hmm. was going, so it was comfortable. But we had over 30 people on the dance floor most of the time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even them, they could see them sweating, but they were enjoying themselves, and the music was just sensational.
We speak of the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce Summer Concert Series, and we're about ready to wrap it up. And Mr. Steve Davis, our good friend, always is the cleanup hitter. he's the last show of the summertime, and what a way to go out. And
I'm like the swallows that return to Juan Capistrano.
San Juan Capistrano. There you go.
We know that the summer is about to end when Steve Davis shows up.
But we do know he returns in the fall.
He does. He returns in the fall with the whole band. But yeah. Next Tuesday, we're going to be there at the wonderful pavilion in Bunnell, Illinois. I have to ask Mickey, did you have the strawberry shortcakes?
Yes, sir. We sold out last night.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hey, that's kind of...
You don't have to be a big fan of any of the music if you're a fan of good food.
Well, it's good to be a fan of the music, too.
Oh, it helps.
Then
it
you
helps.
Stick around, you know.
That's right.
Strawberry shortcake. With ice cream.
Yes.
We are stressing that, and that really...
Well, wait a minute. It's always been that way, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And wait a minute. And there's a small dollop of whipped cream, too.
There is, if you want it, yes.
Yes, I know this, because they asked me that once, and I did not decline the whipped cream.
Small dollop. Just keep going, guys. Keep going. Keep going. A little bit more. Just a little bit. I like a little bit of ice cream with my whipped cream.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know. What do you got? Okay, now I'm going to ask a question because I can't remember. How much were those strawberry shortcakes?
Same price, $3.
Okay, now we'll back up. $3, but I will say this. That is a humongous strawberry shortcake for $3.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you get the shortcake. You get a hunk of ice cream, a big scoop
That's
of
right.
ice cream.
And the strawberries.
And the strawberries. And bless my wife, Emily.
Yes.
100 pounds of strawberries she cuts up and makes that work.
It's a legit deal. I'm going to tell you, for $3, that is really a cool value.
You could do a lot worse.
Oh, I'm going to tell you now. And they're fresh.
Yeah.
When I say fresh, and so there's something to be said about getting that kind of... I'm not certain there's any other... I mean, where else?
Well, around here, with people with the gardens and the tomatoes, the cucumbers, the green beans, the corn, the sweet corn, the strawberries and everything. My gosh, this is...
I have a question. Does she do 100 pounds every show?
No. No, she does it about three or four times
of the season.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you now.
That's one of the behind-the-scenes things that you just don't know about.
That's right.
You know?
That's exactly. Well, I knew it had to be done by somebody.
Yeah.
We just didn't know who that somebody was.
For all the years we've had them, she's the one that cuts them up.
Wow.
And puts them in the container and controls them.
Well, that's a labor-intensive piece of business.
The first thing she says, I say, Mickey, get out of the way. Right? Am I right?
That's right. I move out of the way. I go in the other room.
That's right.
I go to my office, where I go. I go hide.
Okay, yeah. So we have this thing in progress. Just stay out.
That's right.
Too many cooks in the kitchen. Not good. So here we are. We're down to the final.
Eight down, one to go.
One to go. Yeah. We have with Steve, and that, of course, is at the Bunnell City Park. Starts at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We'll open the park on this night at 5 o'clock instead of 6, and everybody be ready. And we have people to control the traffic coming in, so we'll get more people to park there.
And if the weather forecast, the long-range forecast for next week holds intact, you're going to have a pretty nice night.
Oh, you know, when the weather is nice, we have attendance records.
Yeah.
I've been blessed to work up here for Mickey for many, many years, and we've had all variety of weather. We've had a 112 degree heat index, and there was one time I played where the rain horizontally came in.
I remember you telling me about that. It was blowing right through.
It was. It was blowing right through the pavilion.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? The people, the ones that were under there stayed, and I stayed, and we did the show, and everything. You know, we've been through a lot. And I'm going to tell you, and when you're absolutely right. If the weather is nice and mild on a nice summer evening next Tuesday, expect there to be probably 900 or more people there.
Yeah. Every bit of
that. Heard it from the expert.
There you go. There you go.
No, we have, and Mickey's right. Mickey counts the people.
Oh yeah,
I count them twice because people notice now what I'm doing. They couldn't figure out what I was doing, standing in the middle of their counting.
So do you have a clicker or something to count these? Okay, I was going to say, just counting, you know, by memory. Sometimes that would be a little bit faulty, but
it is.
But I would say that probably counting with a clicker would be a lot easier. So
Mickey has a letter from somebody.
Uh-oh. What do we have?
No, I have a special letter.
Take a letter, Maria.
Oh, no, yeah.
From some person, some lady, some female.
Uh-huh.
She wrote a letter. She wants you to announce her at the concert.
Okay.
I don't think it's the summer concert, but I think it's the...
fall concert?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what does she want us to say?
Just say happy birthday.
Oh, we can do that.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to make sure we remember the name and have it written down.
I'm going to have this right
here. You don't lose that.
I've been holding on, and she didn't mail it.
She hand-delivered it?
She hand-delivered it.
Oh, my gosh.
She couldn't figure out where the chamber's office was, so she left it off at the Bunnell City Hall.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, that was the talk of the day.
I'm sure.
This letter.
They thought it was your fan mail.
Well, it's just addressed to Bunnell Chamber of Commerce.
Well, there you go.
We get the mail one way or the other.
Right, there you go.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
Well, and remember the dire predictions they had years ago about the death knell for the U.S. Postal Service?
Right.
And they're doing better now than they have been for a long time. And,
yep.
And I've said for years that you know, it's still the most inexpensive way to move... correspondence
it
across
is.
The country. My gosh.
Ask yourself, would you deliver a piece of mail across the country for 50 cents?
50 cents.
Well, you know, when I was in the military back in the early 60s, I was stationed in the Far East. I don't like to say the name of the town or the things over there. And in Germany, and right outside of Berlin. And the mail would come, I think at that time it was like 10, 12 cents. Well, us... They didn't give us the mail free, but we got it.
Yeah.
It came overseas. It came by the slow boat China, so it was at least 3 weeks, over 4 weeks. Of course, I get all the newspapers. I still get them from that. What it was, the thing of trying to read something that's three weeks old. And, you know, here you see it on television. You get it at the moment it's happening.
Well, you get it, and it's 3 weeks old. It's called history.
Yeah.
Well, the thing you had nothing.
Yeah.
You had the Armed Force Network,
mm-hmm.
and that's about it.
You know, and just very quickly, for those who maybe don't know, there was a movie called Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, yes.
With the late Robin Williams playing the DJ Adrian Cronauer, and Adrian Cronauer passed away last week.
Yes, he
yeah,
did.
He
was the original guy that kind of...
It was the
tweaked the big wigs when he was on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Put it this way, he pushed the envelope as much as he could in Vietnam.
Yeah, I finally sat down with the wife and watched that.
It's
just a sore sight with me. Not the movie, but the situation over there.
Well, the movie was so gut-wrenching there at the end.
Yeah.
And you know, because you had Robin Williams doing his thing and he was terrific, but, of course, the storyline led to a tragedy at the end. So, which, you know, that's war.
Mm-hmm.
That's war. So that's why we have great things like concerts in the middle of the summertime so we can enjoy ourselves here. We're talking with Steve Davis and Mickey Robinson. Steve's going to be performing coming up next Tuesday at the concert in Bunnell, the City Park, and Mickey's with the Chamber of Commerce. And before we get to the concert again, let's quickly mention, I don't want to escape, go by this and forget it. The Fall Festival is coming up. The 20th anniversary of the Fall Festival,
yes.
Right? Unbelievable. Wow. That's set for September 22nd.
Right. Fourth Saturday in September.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gearing up for it starting next week. I mean, I've been working on it all year to get it ready. Mm-hmm. And
we're going to have the dinosaurs back?
As of right now, yes.
Okay.
Good.
Because the Jurassic World movie came out this summer, and that
right.
kind of rekindled the dinosaur thing.
A big favorite among the younger set.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Big favorite for me to walk through them going.
Me as well.
You know, those. To think that these sized creatures were walking around on the face of the earth, I'm going, wow.
Yeah, we'll have the petting zoo there.
Okay.
But it's more calling it a petting zoo. I call it more exotic animal zoo because we have live white reindeer there.
Uh-huh.
You don't see that often down in the Midwest.
Right.
And they don't last long.
Okay. They don't seem to survive long. In I spoke to the man at the last one, and he is obviously very talented at what he does, because he has, like Mickey just said, a white reindeer.
Yeah,
and you don't see that in no other
place. Is it an albino?
No, I don't think it is. Is it Mickey? I don't think it is.
No, I'm trying to think. It comes originally out of the northern part of the, I call it the North Pole, but
the Arctic Circle.
Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it comes from out of there, and he always has problems getting one or two, but he always has, seems like so far we've been lucky to have one.
And I can remember him walking up and me doing an interview with him, you know, with two reindeer with all the antlers and everything
kind of
going around me. And I'm going, well, I hope I don't get stabbed.
No, but they're a docile.
Oh, they really are.
Very tame creature.
Very tame
creature. Well, I don't know about that. The very first day we had them there, the first year we had them, the owner gave both of them ropes to me so they can hold on to them.
And they took
put the gate up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they took off on me, and I'm holding on to them tight so I don't lose them. But I'm fighting these, what do you call them, big things?
The rack of antler.
The antlers,
Yeah, hitting them, boy, they stab you, wow.
Yeah.
I was many times I got brushed against my leg. And people are just laughing at me because that's what the idea was, call the attention to Mickey and the reindeer.
That sounds like a new cartoon.
Yeah, Mickey and the reindeer.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that day, long live. And you know what? Everybody was taking pictures. You know, I haven't seen one picture of that taken. And I would like to hear that.
You were probably going around confiscating all the cameras, that's why.
Yeah.
We can't let this get out.
No. I do vaguely remember that. Yeah. And I have to tell you, when he was holding both of them, that was quite a task, because I think together they are quite a formidable team, weren't they?
Well, I wanted to bring them down there so you guys could interview them, because you're both, as I was coming down the driveway, you're both just laughing.
Imagine us laughing at Mickey being pulled by reindeers?
Yeah, imagine that.
Unbelievable. But the other animals we have, there's giraffes, water buffaloes. There's usually has two or three different styles, one from the Indian, one from the other. I didn't even know this myself.
Yeah.
79 years old, I didn't know there was a difference in water buffaloes.
And they have the little wallaby or the kangaroo?
Yeah, they had that, but I don't know what he's going to bring. He always brings one of the babies every year, and we always have fun with them. Marty last year interviewed the owner, and he tried to interview the wallaby. Yeah, he tried to interview him. Nothing worked. He just tried to chew on the mic.
Yeah.
But the funny part about it is that the goats are always there, and the kids love the goats.
Oh, gosh,
The rest of them, we try to bring something, well, at least one thing different, but the reindeer is my number one priority. And if you look at all my flyers and everything, I have...
I noticed they're the biggest picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was the first time.
Yeah.
That was what a white one looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And the thing is...
And look at the rack, look at the antlers on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you say, he does good with me.
Yeah.
We work it out very...
Well, you were able to feed him out of your hand, weren't you?
Yes.
I thought
but
I saw that.
But the problem is the reindeers, they come in with 500 pounds of carrots, and he cuts them up. himself and his wife and whoever's there to help. They bring 500 pounds and they shave them, and then they cut them up in small pieces about 6 inches
for both the reindeer and the goats.
Right, everybody. But we have found out over the time, they explained it to me in detail, that the reindeers do not eat the carrots most of the time simply because they don't have a digest system
right.
in their belly. And I didn't know that. And that's why so many carrots are laying down in the reindeer thing.
Huh.
But then the rest of them, they go crazy
with the
carrots.
Oh, the goats go nuts over them.
Oh, yeah. They'll take them right out of your hand. And the smaller the kid it is, you're going like this with him, and he starts sniveling on it. He drops the carrot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him. I don't want anybody nibbling on my fingers.
Right, right.
And, of course, we have horseback riding for the kids, too. Now, pony rides. Thank you. We added that this year.
Okay. You got the choo-choo train?
Run? Choo-choo train is going as long as we don't have a problem.
Right. Okay. Okay.
We safety is our first thing on that thing, and each year for some reason Rick, our engineer, he gets more people on that train, and then the year before we're up to over 3,000 riding that train,
and there's
roughly roughly around 28, 29, 30, depends on how many kids you get in there and not the parents.
Yeah, wow.
But you got to have the parents in there to control
them. You can get three or four kids across the seat, but only a couple of adults. So.
Right.
Yeah. But they do need to be supervised.
Oh, yes.
So for the fall.
Including some adults, I guess. So.
Yes.
So for the fall.
Hey, I got to tell one on Marty.
Okay.
We got Marty
John
on
Michael
the,
Marty?
Yeah. We got him on the choo-choo train.
Uh-huh.
I saw that.
With the wireless mic?
Yeah. Yep. How many, for the fall festival, how many vendors do you have coming this year?
Well, right now we're just starting to receive their applications, but we usually average between 65 and 68 a year.
It's cool.
And a lot of these people contact you. I mean, they know it's fall festival time and they just say, hey,
oh, yeah.
Well, we'll be there.
And they've done so well in the past, they want to return.
Oh, yeah.
We always have one or two that it's something that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And we're always replacing them, but we always have a long list of people telling me that, hey, is there room for me this year?
And you got Mr. London coming with his barbecue?
Yes, sir.
From the greatest barbecue of Royal Lakes, Illinois.
Man, when he gets that thing stoked.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, he starts stoking it at
early in the morning.
Thursday night. I ask him to come in on Thursday evening so we can do all that preparation, get it set up and ready to go. So when people, all the other food vendors come in on Friday, he's already stoked in his, what do you call it? A smoker? Okay.
Yeah. So, and Wi-Fi at the park?
Madison Communications is still giving us Wi-Fi.
Did you give those guys a plug?
The last 2 years, it was overwhelming on it, and a lot of people were complaining they couldn't get on there. Well, there's just so much they can put on there.
So much bandwidth,
and,
right.
Yeah, too many people are using it.
So.
But that's what happens when you get big crowds.
Okay. So.
But they will be there, and they will have it hooked up.
And that's coming up on the 22nd of September.
Mm-hmm. The 4th Saturday in September.
And it'll be here before we know it.
It's right now.
So you'll be spending the night.
Two nights. It's become a two-nighter.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Okay. Second night is not a long night. The Friday night is the long night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have vendors come. Some of them who come long ways come early.
Yeah.
Like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me, why are you setting up people at 4 o'clock in the morning? Because they take 6 hours to set up their stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
And the thing of it is, the art and craft booths, you really need to take your time walking through these booths.
Oh, yes.
If you want to take your time, go early in the day, then that way you can
get a bite to eat and take advantage of all the booths and everything.
The vendors, most of them, I think 99% of them have tents. Mm-hmm. And they have everything under the tent because they don't want the sun hitting it or something like that. The thing is, when you it's walking down the aisle, you look over and see what's in there. You don't realize what's in there until you really get real close.
Sure.
Simply because they have people in, from furniture, handmade furniture, to handmade of lots of stuff. And we have every kind of jewelry you think they have. And we have a policy at our place, by the way, and you probably don't even realize this, sir.
Help me out.
Is the some of these companies now demand that they only have one person, one salesman, or one vendor, whatever you want to call them, that they could come from that representing the company. I get letters from all these companies. We only want one person there. We've been doing it that. Mm-hmm. We learned a long time ago that we just put them on a list, and very simply, that's why you don't see, like, some places, two and three, four different vendors with the same type of merchandise. Now, the stuff that is licensed, that's a different story.
Sure, sure.
And the things that are not licensed, you don't worry about that.
Right, yeah.
But we try to create a feeling that you only have one or two or three jewelry people in a row. Mm-hmm. And it's getting to the point now that I have to maybe consider or think about if we get much more of jewelry people, because there's so much that we're going to put them in a one section
special
and they're
section.
All together.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that until I get enough. I would like to have about 30 vendors just that type and make it easy.
That'd be your diamond corner.
Yes.
There you go.
That's right.
Something like that. Yeah. Your gem corner.
We're thinking about that, folks. Yeah. We're only thinking about that.
I told this story before on this very station that I tour all over the place with my Elvis show.
Yeah.
And I had found a Zuni piece of jewelry at the Indian Reservation right outside Flagstaff, Arizona. And they didn't have they had sold the ring, but they had the bracelet and the earrings and the necklace. And lo and behold, while shopping at the fall festival in Benelde, the Zuni ring was one of the vendors had it.
Wow.
So
that's neat.
Well, some of these people were very thing. I had a guy call me. He didn't like the way I was backing them up to put them in the space because I was trying to give him unload right in his booth. So I was doing a real tricky thing. And I apologize. Hear me, folks, please. I'm apologizing. He went away upset.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard about this. So what I'm going to do now, I'm trying to get with him to apologize in person and let him know I'm giving booth because he had some really unbelievable. I loved it.
Yeah.
And he did well with it.
Yeah. Coming up in about 5 minutes here, we're going to have the market report on WSMI FM 106. One thing that we probably ought to mention is the fact that the Benelde City Park is a terrific place.
Oh, it is.
It's a great venue. It's well kept. You know, things are painted.
Mm-hmm.
The restrooms are clean.
They are.
They, you know,
pavilion. You're calling something to attention. I want to give credit where the credit is deserved.
Okay.
Because the park is painted, it's usually painted by the Italian American Club.
Yep.
They paint it every year before they hold their event.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they don't do it every year, it's always the next year.
Yeah.
And they do that. And that's one of the things they donate to the city. They also do sidewalks and some other stuff that give back to the community. So we know that. Being on the council, I do know that.
Yeah.
But that's how it becomes, Pat. The cutting the grass is Mr. Wargles. He just become a custom made. He's a school teacher in the winter, and he comes out of school and he starts cutting the grass, and it looks so nice. Every Tuesday we have the grass cut, regardless rain or wet. And he cuts it before he leaves to go back to school. But give him credit. And other things that it goes like my team. I have to call them my team now. It's getting so big that they do so much of the work now, it takes that burden of the things that go off. There's certain things I still do, and Emily does too, but the bottom line is it's the team.
We call that delegating responsibility. That's what
we
call that.
Well, I have my president of the chamber this year, Margie Perrell. She does a beautiful job, and she's taken so much responsibility away from me. I have a new member, Brandy, from the Heritage Manor. Not Heritage Manor, Heritage Health or something like that. She has a whole bunch of them. She's a general manager of a district manager, I call him. She's joined us this year, and she's starting to jump in there and help us a lot, too. So we have a lot of team members that are really working. So it's taken a lot of pressure off of Emily, of course, and a little bit starting to take off on me, too. In summer concert series, we have a sponsor. Every concert has one sponsor comes in and works a concession stand, and we give them the plugs there and everything like that. Last night, it was the Goodman's Real Estate Office. Madison Communication was in there. Michelle Pharmacy was there. We have all, everyone's there, and they have their shirt on so they can plug. We got to give these people a plug.
Who's going to be working it during the Steve Davis Show?
CAH, Carlinville Area Hospital.
Excellent health care close to home.
Indeed it is.
Hey, well, tell you what, guys, we need to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Steve Davis and Mr. Mickey Robinson. We're going to talk about the Tour de Cole, talk about the concert coming up next Tuesday featuring Steve, and who knows what else we might get into because we're just having a good time here on the radio.
We'll just
and
wait
coming
for
up in just a moment, we'll have the markets for you on WSMI FM 106. Back in Studio A with Mr. Steve Davis and Mickey Robinson, and we were talking about the Fall Festival, the 20th Annual Fall Festival, but this is the 13th year for the Tour de Cole bicycle ride, which actually starts everything off early in the morning on September 22nd this year. So.
Yeah. The thing is, we have three different distance to ride, and We open the Civic Center, Bunnell Civic Center, downtown Bunnell, at 6:30 in the morning. The guys and the ladies are running it, Lou Brandt and them, his wife, are running the registration desk. What they do is people come in. The ones that come in early are the ones who want to ride the 100-mile ride. Mm. And what they'd asked for several years ago, and we gave it to them, is a mass start for the 100-mile, for the other two shorter ones.
For the metric century, which is actually about 65 miles.
Right. Yeah. But the thing is, we let them do, and they're always 20, 30 somewhere. Maybe it depends.
These are the serious riders.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
They got clocks all over themselves. Yeah. The thing is, last year, it was very, very warm at 6 o'clock in the morning. I think the temperature was in the 80s because I was walking around with shorts and a T-shirt on. Usually I got a sweatshirt on and everything, but it was so warm. So we didn't have as many last year. We're hoping they all come back. But the family ride is 13.6 miles, and that's just out and back.
Yeah.
And you finish up, always finish up on the bike trail coming in, and they just blacktopped it. Recently, it will be blacktop, and I'm sorry, in August.
Okay.
And then the mid-length 35-mile ride, that takes you out through the country there. Yeah. And it's already, most people do the 35 in about two and a half hours. I'm sure there's people that do it quicker. But the metric riders, they get that mass start. We give them a police escort out of town. And I know I couldn't resist that with Mr. Davis here. and we take them out to by Cavani's funeral home there, and they make that turn to get over to 8th Street and go on out through Eagerville and take their long trip all the way through everybody. And by the way, we do have six rest stops for anybody who's going out afraid they're going to have it. We also have SAG, as they call it. It's done by the cycler out of Everettsville. And
it's assistance if you need it.
Right. Yeah. If you break down or something, there will be somebody coming around, but we like to have everybody off the road by 2 o'clock.
It's the bicycle version of AAA.
Yes.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point there. The bike barn over in Reno has been doing it for years, but we have not had a commitment from them yet. But the cyclists are ready in there.
Now, how do you pre-register, Mickey? You prefer to have pre-registration.
Oh, yes, because we have to order T-shirts a week ahead of time. What you very simply do, you can download off the Cole County Chamber of Commerce website, or a lot of the regular riders who do a lot of rides and everything, so they have a record, they can go to www.active.com. Okay. Very simple. They can rest your on there. They get everything ready, and we have it. We have worked with them about 8 years now out of the 13 years of it. We got in there. We should have got in there. We did get in there, but I think we just didn't promote it the right way. Yeah. But now we do. And every 2 weeks I get a check from them and all them and everything. But that's how they do. And if you order the register before the 17th of September, you can get, you will guaranteed a shirt. Because that's the morning of the 17th, we order, when we check the mail and anything else, we go to the T-shirt and place the order for it. Come in on Monday, and they print them during the week, and we have them by Thursday in a different color every year, and we have the date on it and the sponsors on the back of the shirts and everything.
Cool.
Excellent. But it's download from the coldcountrychamber.com or active.com.
Active.com, and just click on Tour Coal.
Right.
Basically. Right. And that takes you right to the registration.
Oh, yeah, and it's easier for them people who do it because these people are so busy that would do that.
Yeah.
Be surprised. But the fun part about it is we have a lot of helpers working.
My compliments to you for 20 years of pulling this off, buddy.
Yeah.
You put in a lot of hours. And the chamber puts in a lot of hours.
Well, I have a big team. Yeah. Every year we get a lot of new volunteers. And if anybody wants to volunteer, we'll put them to work. And it's very simply standing on a certain place, a critical corner, when a crossroads or something like that. Sure. We'll put some couple of people there so they have the bicyclists safer. It's always safe first with me and everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the volunteers really do the work for me. I'm just the showboat guy.
There you go.
If you want to call that.
You are the
P.T.
Barnum. You're running the three-ring circus is what you're doing, buddy.
Are they still around?
No.
Who was the one that just shut off?
I think it was Ringing Brothers.
Ringing Brothers.
Yeah.
Because, all right, by the way, since we're talking about that, we have the Kelly Miller Circus coming back on October 2nd.
Okay.
And the tickets will be on sale in September.
Okay.
And
you're going to sell them at the Fall Festival?
I will have them at the Fall Festival.
Will it be held in the park there?
Yes.
Okay.
We managed to maneuver 300 by 300 space for the circus in there. The smart guy who came in the very first time worked out real fine, and they set it up real good.
Yeah. There's only about one way to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that park. Yeah.
And the elephant comes in about 9 o'clock. But now that the elephants are not there anymore, we don't know how they're going to do it. But there is
you still show up and watch.
Yeah. Well, 9 o'clock is the time they're telling me in my instructions that let them know there'll be the elephant. Not, I want to say the elephant, but I can't say. I'm not supposed to.
You mean were they using the elephant to help raise the tent?
Right. Yeah. Correct.
But that you don't do that.
But since they don't have an elephant, they'll have what we call roustabouters.
Well, whatever it is. It's 9 o'clock, it will have raising the tent is what they're calling. I don't want to say it anymore.
Okay.
But the thing is, I'll be still doing that. When the Benell School, elementary school, was down the street from us, they would walk the whole school up that morning, first thing, and come up and watch it. And the kids are just unbelievable. The kids who got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can't. We won't. They don't want to bus them over because it's too complicated.
Yeah.
But it's just there. It's coming. And if you need more information, go to our website, coldcountrychamberofcommerce.com, and there'll be more information on there.
Okay.
And the tickets are going to be at the locations too, like Michelle Pharmacy, the City of Gillespie Hall, Benell City Hall, FNB Bank, and TJ's down there.
Okay. Tell you what, we need to take care of a little business, take care of a radar weather forecast, and our conversation with Steve Davis and Mickey Robinson continues right after this. That's right, your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106, Mr. Steve Davis. Exciting times coming up with the final summer concert series, and of course you'll be performing at the Fall Festival.
Yeah.
I want to personally thank you, my friend, my dear friend, for helping out with the fundraiser that my family here at WSMI.
Yeah.
And they
well, don't forget, I love you. And don't forget, the entire audience out here loves you as well. So it's what friends and neighbors do, brother. So that's what I'm here for.
And I tell you what, you knocked the ball out of the ballpark.
Well, I'm proud of my team.
Yeah.
And like Mickey says, he's got a team, I've got a team too, and the word went out, and the team rose to the occasion.
You know, of course, I have my Elvis favorites, Suspicious Minds.
We did that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Burning Love was really good,
we
too.
We did that one,
too. That was a terrific one. I really hadn't heard, paid much attention to the Buddy Holly performance.
Oh, yeah.
My God. That was terrific.
Yeah, he's a champ. I'll tell you now. Thomas Hickey, he really has that persona down, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, and the look.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the whole package there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Patsy Cline, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
We got those coming up on our show in the Fall Festival. Yeah.
You have the full band with you.
I'll have the full band again, like we had at the up in Raymond.
Yeah.
And we got Buddy Holly, Patsy Cline, and of course, Mickey wanted me to mention also that our young lady who was from the Benelde area, Gillespie Benelde area, who's in Nashville, she's a resident songwriter, Amy Hailstone, mm-hmm. and I'm going to tell you now, she's very talented.
Yeah.
And of course, those friends of ours from over in the Godfrey area, or Godfrey Grafton area, a Rockabilly Revival.
Oh.
And if you're into that brand of music, I'm going to tell you now, they might be the best of what they do in this area.
Really?
They are.
So they're...
Yeah, we're going to have a fun-filled afternoon.
They got it together.
So. Yeah, and I'm very proud to... How many years has this been for me, Mickey, with the company?
I think you did all of them except the very first one.
So this is 19. Even though it's 20 for the company, it's 19 for me.
Yeah. I know, as long as I've been going there.
Yeah.
I couldn't have
come up with a better friend and a better partnership. There's never been a need for any paperwork amongst us.
Yeah.
We shake hands.
Yeah.
And we deliver, and Nikki delivers, and I love you, Terry Tote.
I just love pulling up in the morning, and the smell, you know, there's always this...
London's barbecue smoker.
Oh, yes. You know, it just permeates the area.
Yep.
And you pull up, and you're one of the first guys I usually see.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, we shake hands.
Absolutely.
And converse a little bit and have a little... A little
powwow
time together,
yeah.
A little powwow together. So
Mickey's there before any of us.
Mickey never.
He hasn't leave the premises.
Yes, Mickey's going to have his own little cabin built.
Yes,
up there.
The Mickey Robinson cabin.
That's right.
Like Santa Claus, and he'll have a little clock on the outside, but it won't have any time when he returns because he doesn't leave.
Yeah,
it's just he's going to.
I ain't coming back.
He's going to be there already, which is really I think it's a testament to when you work with a producer, and I've been blessed to work with many people over the years. But you can really tell that he's in the fray.
Yeah.
He knows the vendors personally. He tries to do the best interest for those people that are coming to sell their things, some of the exhibits. He knows these people personally. I know he's known me personally for over 19 years before he brought me here for this show. And I don't regard him as just a producer of a show. He's one of my friends. And so when we come out here, I'm very proud of my team. We try to deliver the best show. And it's a family. Not only is it a family show, but I'm very proud that we get to produce something that's for all ages in a rural community where this needs to be exploited to the max.
Well, and I always like to say that the legacy of Elvis will live on for centuries.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
And you know, Elvis today is as popular as he ever was.
Absolutely.
And the music of Elvis, if you trace the history of pop music, it starts with Elvis.
Right.
And then everything, you know, springs. It's kind of like a family tree.
Right.
You have the
you have little trunkians that come off of what Elvis started.
You know, you got the British side of things. You got, you know, the Americans and just he just changed the world.
Oh, yeah.
My God, he changed the world.
A beloved icon of American music. Yeah, and I'm happy to bring the anachronism of his show to various stages. I love the fact that I see elderly people, and they come to the show, and they have their great-grandchildren, and they're sharing a moment where both everybody can enjoy the show together.
And it's kind of like Major League Baseball likes to promote the fact that it's a family thing. And
yeah.
You got grandma and grandpa and the grandkids there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing.
It
this is.
It's
the exact same thing, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper.
Well, and not only that, it's actually not only cheaper, but I think it's free.
Free!
It's free, which is the great price. And other than the $3 shortcakes next Tuesday, which I'm going to tell you now, I'm glad we brought that up. up.
Yeah.
Because that is an incredible value.
they can probably sell them for $6 or $7.
Actually, I've seen comparable product go much more expensive, but there's something about having a nice hometown spin, and the Mickey and Emily and the folks there at the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce, they really go above and beyond. Like I said, they go above and beyond the ability to make this thing really a special event for the folks that come out with their lawn chairs to have a good time.
And when people say, well, there's nothing going on around here, well, that's not true. There's a lot of stuff going around here. I mean, virtually every weekend you've got some sort of a homecoming or a celebration. You've got concerts going on during the summer. You've got fall festivals coming up.
Right.
I mean,
if you're bored, it's your own fault.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Not to mention all the darn work you could be doing.
You might get stuck with work if you don't.
My feeling is, if you work hard, which we all try to do, to maintain a level of good citizenship and living, if you want to have a good time, you can't beat this.
Yeah. You and I think, can relate to the statement that we've never worked a day in our life.
No, because we love what we do.
We love what we do.
If you love something you do, you really don't ever work at it.
Yeah.
I do have to, however, work at maintaining some sort of level of immunity to the sensitivity that I will never get over when I watch an elderly couple. I've shared this example on this station many times, but I played a gig recently where there was a gentleman in a wheelchair at a nursing home, and he looked pretty dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't dead, obviously, but he looked pretty low functioning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting next to his wife, who had a walker with the tennis balls on it. You've seen these people with the tennis balls on the walker. And I asked, are there any married people here? And this lady raises her hand. She goes, I've been married to him. And she points to the cadaver. She goes, I've been married to him for 74 years. Which, you know, gets a huge round of applause because it says in many obituaries, you know, survived by wife. You know, women generally have a much higher mileage on this planet than we seem to have.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm portraying Elvis, I start singing Love Me Tender. This guy in the wheelchair who looked, for all intents and purpose, he looked like he had been dead 2 weeks. He opens his eyes and begins to stand up and dance with his wife.
There you go.
And for me, I guess, even though I love what I do, and I had to actually look away because you have to have an open airway to sing, and I was becoming so sensitive to the beauty of this miracle. And he did. For 2 minutes and 31 seconds, he danced with his wife. And the kids in that nursing home had the good sense to whip out their 4G cell phones and capture the miracle when it occurred. And
pretty neat.
It was neat. I got to tell you right now, I still reminisce with how beautiful that was and how blessed I am that I'm at the epicenter of such cool things that when they happen.
And that happens because of Elvis.
Well,
because of the memories that his music evokes.
Right.
And the good times that people have.
I don't know how to explain it. So the charge nurse came over to me, and of course they were all kind of slack-jawed at what happened.
Yeah.
And after the show was over, she explained to me. Now I did not realize there was a kind of a fifth stage to Alzheimer's. She said that the patient in question had a fifth stage, which was a decerebrate non-responsive mode, which he had been in for 18 months. And so, hence, they had to feed him with a tube. I mean, there was a lot going on here. And then I started wondering, there was no way on earth that could have been recreated in a therapy room.
Yeah.
And I thought, what I just witnessed was, without a doubt, a miracle not unlike Lazarus.
But, you know, when you get music involved, it activates different parts of the brain.
It stimulates
people.
It
really does. And, you know, if you're involved in music, you're higher functioning in math and in language, and that's what music can do. And for people and societies that don't appreciate music, I feel sorry.
Well, and we should pray for those people.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you right now, I thank the good Lord that I've got good friends and teammates and present company in this room.
Yeah.
We have this wonderful show and other shows I'm blessed to play. They stop asking because it's the truth. They say, why does Steve Davis drive out here in the middle of a cornfield near Litchfield, Illinois, twice a year? And I tell them because it's the last bastion of real radio left in America.
Yes.
I said, I'd like to come over here and give Terry Toad a hug and John Michael Marty a hug and Mickey Robinson a hug. I like dealing with people face-to-face. My father taught me, if you're going to do business with somebody, try to do it face-to-face.
Yeah. It's the best way to go.
It is.
Because you can build a trust by looking into somebody's eyes.
That's right. Yeah. And I love coming out here. And, in fact, I'm not berating any of our radio colleagues in the markets south of us, but very few of them are occupied by real live people.
Yeah.
The trend has gone to rebroadcasting a pre-programmed format from a home office, like, say, in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a pumping station, which is like a broadcast antenna.
Well, and just for me to interject, what do people in Baltimore know about the Midwest?
Nothing.
They can't possibly understand.
That person in Baltimore doesn't know any more about the Casey store in Litchfield than the man in the moon.
Yeah.
But I would beg to say that this office and the sales staff and the people that care know their names,
sure.
Know their families' names.
Sure. Absolutely. Steve Davis, you're my dear, dear friend.
You're my dear friend.
And thank you so much again for everything you've done for me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in September again. And you'll be out to visit us prior to the Fall Festival.
I will be.
Mickey Robinson. Mickey's put in many, many years of making sure that the Fall Festival comes off without a hitch. And I'm proud to say he's been my friend for many years.
Yep.
And I can remember when this thing got started and we were talking about this and it took off. And
it's always good when a plan comes together.
I tell you what, wasn't it Hannibal? What's his name on the A team? I love it when a plan comes together, right?
Well, it's been running pretty well.
It does run pretty well. It really does. And
we need a little oil here and here.
Well,
Mickey's complaining about getting stiff in the joints.
Well, a little WD-40, Mickey. We're going to work on that, okay? We'll talk with the doctors and see what we can come up with, buddy. And maybe by then we'll get you all fixed up.
Now, the two things I have to compliment here.
Okay. Got about a minute.
You guys made me blush and praise and all this praise on here. And I'm going to have to go out and face everybody, and they're going to say, well...
Oh, they're going to give you the demo.
How much did you pay them?
No.
I'm going to tell them. I paid Steve Davis 25 cents, and I paid Terry Tote a nickel.
There you go. And that's over the budget right there.
Yeah.
We blew the whole budget.
Well, you know what I love? I love the fact we made him blush, but it will never make his head any larger because this man is a very humble man. He works hard at what he does. I've actually watched him in the field. And the people who know what he's doing in the coal country area, which I guess encompasses Gillespie, Bunnell, Mount Olive, wherever he goes, they know this man.
Yeah.
This man's in the field. You know who's on the varsity team by the dirt on the uniform.
There you go.
This man does not sit on the bench. He scores the touchdowns. He's in the fray. And if you're gonna tag a franchise player for next season's draft, I would pick Mickey Robinson.
The guys that always have dirt on their uniforms are the guys you like.
That's right.
Yeah,
They're working for it.
Steve Davis, thank you. Mickey Robinson, thank you.
Terry Tote, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for my team.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you for my team.
Yes, sir.
Gormer Pyle say thank you even also.
WSMI FM, Litchfield Hills, Borough Carlinville, and Greenville. It's 11 o'clock.